says that if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. He will give back to you. He will supply. You can't outgive God. And this is a wonderful organization and a great opportunity for us to participate. Water. Exodus chapter 17, the first three verses. If you have your Bible or device along, you can follow along with us. When I was a boy, our house was supplied by a spring that came right out of the hillside. We had a little spring house where there was a great pool of water and an overflow that when there was more than enough water to make its way out. I remember there were times when Dad would go and scoop out a mouse or something else that had drowned in the water, pour in a little bit of Clorox from time to time, and that was our source. Under normal conditions, we had plenty of water, but during seasons of drought, life became all about conserving the water we had, and Dad would go out and check with his flashlight in the spring house and come back in to tell us, okay, you can use the water, or we better conserve it a little bit more, and so on. Fortunately, in those days, you only bathed once a week. We would fill up the tub, and everybody would take their turn getting a bath. And after a few little boys have gotten their bath, the water could become quite dirty. And it never ceased to amaze me how clean a body could get in dirty water. I don't know how many are as old as I am, or you had the lifestyle we did out in our rural community, but that would be brown, and you could still come out pretty squeaky clean after that. And there was always a fight for the pecking order, who got in the tub first. I think that this is where that whole thing about ladies before gentlemen came in. The ladies and you let the muddy little boys go last. The whole point of this sermon is to give you an appreciation for water being a proof of God's loving care over us. I want to prove to you that water itself is a miracle. It's a God substance. It's as though God were dwelling with us in giving us water. It's proof of God. I hope you never see or think about water the same way again. Exodus chapter 17, the first three verses. The whole Israelite community sent out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Father, we invite you into this message, into this time of the service. I pray, God, that you will break up some hard ground in our hearts or in our minds, some questions or some doubts. Give us a seed that will grow in our lives that we can always turn to. Whenever the doubts arise, we can turn back to this proof and say, "I know God loves me because." Help us today and as we move forward, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've noted in previous studies, the Israelites marched out of Egypt as if they had plundered the Egyptians. They were laden with gold and silver and clothing and all the things that they'd ever desired to have before. Weapons and herds and flocks. Easily the amount of plunder that they carried with them would be worth in the billions today. None of that mattered whenever they couldn't find something to drink. Water is the essential substance of life. Each of our bodies is 55 to 78% water. Think about that. 78% of you is what? And it's as though you flow from one room to another. Water constitutes the greater part of protoplasm, which is the fundamental substance of which animal and plant bodies are made. Water is a unique material unlike anything else in the whole universe. Water has a high surface tension. In other words, it's both elastic and sticky. It tends to clump together in drops rather than to spread out in a thin film like rubbing alcohol would do. Surface tension is responsible for capillary action. Fancy word. But what that means is that water can flow through things, like the tiny little blood vessels in your body. You ever go to the doctor of the hospital and they have to put something in your arm? They're looking for a vein. A vein's one of the big juicy things. Blood vessels are extremely tiny. You wouldn't find a needle small enough to go through there. But the properties of water make it possible for it to flow through your tiny little blood vessels. It gives blood what it needs to do to keep you alive. Water should be a gas at room temperature. All other similar liquids, all other similar substances, I should say, such as sulfide, hydrogen sulfide, and ammonia are gases. They're similar to water in structure. They're gases at room temperature. The stickiness of water holds it together as a liquid. There's an old saying, no one appreciates the water until the well runs dry. It's so common that we fail to realize how tremendous it is that we have water. But it's not common in that it's like other things. It's not logical. It doesn't follow the rules of logic, nature, or science. And that's my point. We have evidence of God's provision in abundance all around us. Anybody ever ask you, well, where's God? Every time you take a drink of water, you drink a miracle. It's absolutely astounding. Just think about the process of it starts out as water. We have that old saying, how is it that a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk? Well, how is it that you can drink a clear liquid like that and it provides everything that you need in your body, your blood, your nutrients, and so on, along with the food that you eat? Water is unique in that it's the only natural substance that's found in all three physical states, liquid, solid, and gas, at normal temperatures on Earth. Water is odorless, tasteless, transparent liquid at room temperature. Water is called the universal solvent because it dissolves more materials than anything else on the planet. You have Tide detergent, you have soap for your dishwashing, and so on. The greatest solvent of anything on Earth is water. Wherever water goes, either through the ground or through our bodies, it takes along valuable chemicals, minerals, and nutrients. Water regulates the temperature of your body. It regulates our temperature, carries nutrients and oxygen to our cells, cushions joints, protects organs and tissues, removes waste. All things being equal, you can survive for 3 weeks without food. After our week of fasting, some of you are pretty sure it's 3 hours, but it's 3 weeks without food, only 3 days without water. That's why even though the Israelites carried a king's ransom along, it was worthless without water. All of life stopped until the question of where their next drink of water was coming from was answered. I don't recall the people giving praise when they had water, but I remember them complaining every time that they didn't. They're so unlike us, right? There were such a difficult people back then. Verses 5 and 6 there in Exodus 17. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. The reason this is a miracle to us is because we don't normally see water gushing out of a rock, right? But when you think about how we get our water, it's no less of a miracle. Where does our water come from? It falls right out of the sky. It just comes. And when we've been dry for a very long time, it even turns hardened sinners religious. Pray for more rain. It comes down from above. Water covers 70% of the earth's surface. 70% of the earth's surface. But 97% of all the water on earth is salt water. Only 3% is available to us for our consumption, but 2/3 of that is ice. So only 1% of the entire supply of water on the planet is available to you and I. Water has a very high specific heat index. What does that mean? It means it absorbs a lot of heat before it itself begins to heat up. That's why it's so valuable in industry or in your car radiator system in order to keep things cool. It has a very high specific heat index. There's more water in the atmosphere than in all of our rivers combined. There's more water in the sky than in all of our rivers put together. Water regulates the Earth's temperatures. Just another way it's essential to life. Earth is a closed system, much like a terrarium, so it rarely loses substance or energy. It's all being recycled continually. So the same water that existed millions of years ago, if there were millions of years, even thousands of years ago, is still in existence today. When you turn your faucet on and the water comes out, you could be drinking the same water molecules that dinosaurs drank from years ago. Does that give you joy? We use water, but we never diminish its supply. I always get a kick out of, they always say, you got to conserve water because it's a limited resource. It's a renewable supply. It's always been around, and now we should keep it clean and all those kinds of things. I agree with that. We use water, but do not diminish the supply. It is constantly recycled. Our bodies contain it, but cannot retain it. We need a constant supply. How many have tried that 8 ounces, eight bottles of water a day, 8 glasses of water a day? You find that you do a lot more walking than you used to when you take that on. We contain it, but we can't retain it. It kind of goes right through us. You and I, out of all the people on the earth, should be most thankful for water. Why is that? Because Americans tend to use, on average, 100 gallons per person per day. Just think about 100 gallons of water per person per day. Just brushing your teeth in the morning and getting your shower, going through your routines, 100 gallons per person per day, compared to Europeans who use 50 gallons per person per day. I think they use a whole lot more cologne. Many in developing countries survive on 2 gallons of water a day. You get where I'm going at when we should be thankful? People get 2 gallons of water a day and we're using 100 per person. If you lived in a developing country, you would be spending 25% of your waking hours getting water. 25%. If you have a 16-hour waking day, 4 hours just getting enough water. We have a saying, don't cry over spilled milk. Well, what would happen if it took you 2 hours to go to the river, fill up your jug, bring it back, and a kid knocked it over? I think I'd be crying. You know, oh, okay, let's go do it again. You and I, we're in a hurry, right? We got, I can't. Imagine if you had to spend 4 hours every day just getting enough water to take care of yourself, to take care of your family. Turn on a spigot. They walk and carry every drop. The average American household consumes over 100,000 gallons of water in a year. 100,000. Some of us are on public water systems and we complain about the water bill. Well, complain no more. 100,000 gallons of water in a year. Pure water, which you will not find in nature, cannot conduct electricity. It conducts electricity when it dissolves the things around it, and then it contains these substances. While most people know that water boils at 100 degrees centigrade or 212 degrees Fahrenheit, they don't know that that's at sea level. The boiling point of water is dependent upon barometric pressure. So the higher you go, the lower it takes of a temperature to boil your water. For example, on the top of Mount Everest, you can boil water at 154 degrees Fahrenheit. Good thing, because it's pretty cold at the top of Mount Everest. Yet, where there's water in the ocean near geothermal vents, that water can remain liquid in temperatures much higher than 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Still not impressed? Well, consider these facts. The density of water means that sound moves through it long distances. Ask any whale. He can 3,500 miles an hour. That sound goes out from that whale across the ocean. That was a quote, by the way, from the water molecule is not linear. It is bent in a specific way, making it so that it is negative on one end of the molecule and positive on the other. Water is relatively incompressible. That's what makes hydraulics possible. Some of you work with hydraulics on your job or in construction, these bulldozers and different beasts, mechanical beasts of burden by hydraulics. Amazing amounts of weight are lifted because of the power in water. You're not able to compress it. You can move things with it. An inch of water covers an acre of ground. That's 27,154 gallons of water. 27,154 gallons of water to cover an inch of ground, an acre, an inch deep. Any guesses to how much that weighs? 113 ton, an inch of water on it. Where was that water before it was on the ground? And don't we call them light, fluffy clouds? 113 ton. A bad rainstorm, you can get an inch of rain an hour. 113 tons moving overhead just in that. That's why I'm saying this stuff is miraculous. There are at least 16 different kinds or phases of ice. All of them have different crystal structures. Hot water freezes faster than cold water. This is known as the Pemba effect, and no one knows why. There are a few smart alecks who think they know why, or try to tell you they know why, but they don't. The Pemba effect. Everywhere there's liquid water on earth, there is life. Even if that water is nearly boiling, or where the area is skin-burningly acidic, wherever there is water on earth, wherever there's liquid water on earth, there is life. Water expands when it freezes, unlike almost every other liquid. Every other liquid contracts when it freezes, but not water. It goes the opposite direction. This is critical to life. Lakes and rivers freeze from the top down. So even though the earth has faced successive ice ages, there's always been liquid water for life to continue. This is also the reason why frogs and fish survive in the wintertime. Everything freezes from, and even if it freezes around these animals, it preserves them rather than destroys them. Scientists still don't know why there's a lot more water on Earth than on the other planets of our solar system. Water belongs to the list of the weirdest substances on our planet. It has more than 80 unusual, unique properties you won't find in anything else. The physical and chemical properties of water are extraordinarily complicated and incompletely understood. That's from a textbook. That's a quote from a textbook. The physical and chemical properties of water are extraordinarily complicated and incompletely understood. I just want to repeat one fact that I gave you a little bit earlier. Water should be a gas at room temperature. So imagine opening up your bottle of water and trying to get a drink. Boy, that quenched the thirst right there. All similar molecules, such as hydrogen, sulfide, and ammonia, are gases. The stickiness of water molecules holds them together as a liquid. About a year or so ago, Kirvin said in his Sunday school class that every time the sun comes up is proof of God. The Word of God said, this is the way it would be, and it would continue all the way through to the end. Every time you see the sun come up, you know God is on the throne. It doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by accident. God said, let there be, and there was. Well, I want to add to that list. That phrase that he gave us has stuck with me ever since then, and I have always enjoyed that. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and the first thing that they say is God is faithful. First thing they say is God is, and then second thing is God is faithful. And every time the sun comes up, we have proof that God is on the throne. Now, I want to add to that, the water that we consume, the water that we enjoy, is proof of God. I was homeschooling with Kayla. It had to be 10, 12 years ago. And in one of her textbooks, we studied water. And that's where this sermon was born. 10, 12 years ago, I said, one of these days, I want to share this with the congregation. This is a miracle. This is awesome. It's like proof of God right in front of us, and we don't understand the mystery, the glory of it all. Think about the goodness of God. What does Jesus say? The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Even while you or I were in rebellion against him, we still got caught in the rain every once in a while. Our wells were still full. Our spring houses were still producing. You could still get a bottle of water. God in his goodness. Water speaks of the mercy and the grace of God. A woman is ready to give birth when what breaks? Her water breaks. We baptize people in what? In water. I don't think I could do just a sermon on water. I think I could do a series. I know some of you are hoping, no, please don't go there. But I just want to whet your appetite, no pun intended. for looking at water differently than you ever, and maybe not even just water. How important is the air that you breathe to you? Do you think this stuff just is? Bang, and there it was. Can't possibly be. Not when it's not like anything else. Not like when the slightest change to it could bring death rather than life. There is such a unique balance to this terrarium, to this atmosphere in which we live, this environment. And I thought when we studied that together, Kayla and I, in her science book, does anybody realize what this means? Does this dawn on anybody? Do we ever even take a moment to think? The water that we hold. Water is a basic essential to life, more abundant than anything else on the planet. It defies many natural laws, and scientists still don't know the answer to why there's a lot more water on Earth than on other planets of the solar system, even though oxygen and hydrogen are two of the most common elements in the universe. The three most common elements in the universe are hydrogen, helium, and oxygen. Yet they can't find water anywhere else. They think maybe they have found a little bit on Mars. They're not sure. There might be a polar ice cap there. I'd asked my dad's a scientist. I asked him one day, why are they so hep on finding water elsewhere? My dad said, well, if they can find water, even on the moon or on another planet, water not only sustains human life, it can be broken into fuels. Both hydrogen and oxygen can be burned. And so if you could get your rocket ship, we have the technology to turn the water into a fuel to get your rocket ship out further from that place. Water. 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 I know why there's plenty of water on Earth and you can't find it on the other planets. Do you know why? Because God is good. God said, let there be, and there was. Maybe that doesn't sound very scientific to you. God is the greatest scientist that there has ever been. So next time you take a drink, a shower, go swimming, or see it rain, worship God. Hallelujah! That ought to break out of us. Every time you go past a fountain, oh, we're all up on the sculpture. You know, the guy and it's coming out his mouth or the horse out of his ear or whatever. What a beautiful sculpture. We should be going gaga over the water that's being shot out of the thing and saying, proof that my God is, proof that my God loves, proof that my God reigns. When you stand at the ocean, don't you feel the presence of God? The Israelites grumbled because they couldn't see the source of their next drink. Shouldn't we rejoice that we've never gone without? Shouldn't someone take some time to sing his praises? Well, how about us? Would you stand with me this morning? How great is our God?